Okay, we're now at the final section of our outline. The final home stretch here, the Revelation Bible Study section 53, chapter 22, verses 6 through 21, Come, Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter 22, verse 6 says, And then he said to me, These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. So we've come full circle. This brings us back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, that is the Apostle John, to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. We have it in red, which is the words of Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. So the second coming of Jesus Christ will be sudden and without warning. The reference here is primarily to the rapture, which is logical, as the book of Revelation was given to the church age as the final book, the last part of the New Testament. And we can take a look at the rapture and the second coming passages. And we did in section 15b. Of this study, the rapture is Christ's coming for his saints, those who are alive will forever be with the Lord, and the second coming is the Lord coming with his saints. So the church age saints will be right there with the Lord when he returns again. Revelation chapter 22. Verses 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And John made this mistake before in Revelation chapter 19 in verse 10, and he fell down before an angel, and he was rebuked for it. And in verse 9, the same thing happens. Then he, that is the angel, said to me, that is John, See that you not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. So here, again, the worship of angels is forbidden. But the worship of Jesus Christ is not forbidden. In John chapter 20, verses 26 through 29, Thomas fell down before the risen Christ, the risen Jesus, and he said, My Lord and my God, and he offered him worship. And that was legitimate. Jesus didn't rebuke him. You know why? Because he is God. If he was merely an angel, as the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, then he would have rebuked him. He would have said, Get up, just like the angels do. But Jesus was God, and he accepted the worship. Thomas had the right estimation of who Jesus is. He is the Lord God, God the Son. Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. And he said to me, Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So the prophecy is to be revealed to the church age now, in contrast to Daniel chapter 12 in verse 4. In Daniel chapter 12 in verse 4, Daniel was told to seal up the book, not to give any more revelation. Even though Daniel saw him, had seen a few more things, he was told, okay, that's it. We're going to give 12 chapters to the nation of Israel back here in the 6th century B.C., but that's going to be all that we're going to give for now. But we're going to give some more later as prophecy goes on. Now, this fuller revelation is not to be sealed. So maybe Daniel saw some of this. I mean, that's all speculation. Maybe he didn't. But suffice it to say, John the Apostle is told not to seal the words of this prophecy because people need to know this stuff. They need to read this stuff and to understand this stuff. So when people avoid the book of Revelation, they're missing out on a blessing. They're missing out on some revelation from The Word of God. Revelation 22:11 reads, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." So here we have a reference to the permanent status of both unbelievers who are unjust and filthy due to the fact that their sin remains, and believers who are righteous and holy due to the fact that their sin is covered by the blood of Christ. Revelation 22:12 reads, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." And these rewards are believers' rewards, which are given by the Lord at the second coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 talks about this judgment here, which is a judgment based upon what somebody did with Christ. So believers, of course, they're going to get to heaven, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, all true believers. But the rewards are going to be based upon what they did with the gifts that God gave them in this life. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Three names of Christ affirming his eternal deity. Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." So those who do his commandments are those whose actions prove the reality of their professed faith. As James says, faith without works is dead. The evidence of true saving faith in Jesus Christ is our works. We're not saved by faith, but our works come after. And it's the same thing with the rewards. We don't work for rewards, but we receive the rewards of the fruit of our labors, which is God, which were ultimately God empowered. That's why we lay our crowns down at the feet of Jesus. Here we have two rights conferred to believers regarding the eternal state in Revelation chapter 22 in verse 14. The first one is access to the tree of life. The access to the tree of life was blocked because otherwise Adam and Eve might take of the tree of life and be cemented in that sinful state forever. But all of those who have been redeemed of the Lord and have had their salvation completed are glorified. They've been justified, sanctified, and glorified, and so there's no sin left in them. So they're going to be cemented in that glorified, unable to sin state. So they can be access to the tree of life. The second thing is access to New Jerusalem. So what's kind of interesting here is that they have the right to enter through the gates into the city. And I kind of wonder, and again, this might be a little bit of speculation on my part, you know how we talked about the millennial kingdom being rolled up and the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem being brought down? I wonder if we're actually going to kind of parade out of the millennial kingdom and go in through the gate, in one of the gates, into the new Jerusalem. And this will symbolize, perhaps, the access that we have into the eternal state, into eternal life, based upon all of these things that Jesus Christ, the King, the Messianic King, has done. We'll be going from the Messianic Kingdom into New Jerusalem, where the Tree of Life is. So we're going to go from the Millennial Kingdom to the eternal state. Revelation 22:15, "But outside of dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie." So here another sober reminder of the fate of the reprobates. In verse 16, again, the words of the glorified Christ. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. So we've got two more names of Jesus. The root and the offspring of David. Again, a reference to the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, Jesus is prophesied to come from the family of Jesse. Of course, Jesse was David's father, and in Matthew chapter 1, we find David in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and again in Luke chapter 3, in that genealogy, we find David as a human ancestor of Jesus. So this is a reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. The fact that God became man to do his salvific work. He's also called the bright and the morning star. So he is the one who has the seven spirits in the book of Revelation also. The bright and morning star. He is the messianic person that Zacharias prophesied of. Way back in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79, where Zacharias, it's John the Baptist's father, said, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And this same one who brought light into the world that Christmas morn. And that same one is the same one who brings light into our hearts today, and the one who lights up, who provides the light, who is the Son, S-O-N, of the eternal state. There's no night there. And in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So the Holy Spirit and the church age believer, bride, invite all those with spiritual desire to enter into eternal rest now and forevermore. So if you're reading this, this is the call, the convicting call of God the Holy Spirit. Come into the faith and inherit all of these great things which are prepared for the saints from eternity past, even this eternal state. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now here we have an earnest warning of the danger of tampering with God's word, either in the book of Revelation or anywhere else in the scriptures. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 2, we're also warned not to add or subtract from the word of God. So let us not do that either by supposed prophetic or ecstatic revelations or any additional holy books or traditions of men that might be set on par with the Bible. So somebody comes to you and they've got a revelation and they say, yeah, I'm a prophet, this, that, and the other. They better be speaking exactly what's in this book, the Holy Bible. Otherwise, they are on the wrong side of God. They are accursed of God and have nothing to do with that. So, friends, let us be careful that we do everything by the book, that we take this book seriously and as God's honest truth in all things, not adding or subtracting from it. He who testifies to these things says, and here we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And this is the response of the believer. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The Christian welcomes the coming of Christ without reservation or fear, knowing that he or she will be met with grace. Amen, the last word of in this book in the Bible, an acceptance of God's plans, terms of salvation, and kingdom program. This is the faith and trust response of the believer, God's final benediction for you and I, dear friend. Amen. God bless you.